An Orthodox Jewish rabbi in Israel says that Jews should be praying for the destruction of Iran. What do you think about that?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, Mondays are always unique on The Line of Fire because there's so much on my heart and so much I want to talk to you about. So thanks for joining us. We are going to have a full and blessed show. And I want to get your feedback on a very interesting and very important question. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can weigh in on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. Okay, first let me thank all of you who've been praying for my health and strength. If you didn't hear, I got sick while I was in India, but we're not sure when I contracted the virus, but came back, found out that I had West Nile virus. Again, it's not contagious, especially not by radio, and it's supposed to take about 30 days to cycle out of your system, so we're trusting God it'll be quicker than that, and of course, totally confident that none of the really bad symptoms will be there, but just fighting fatigue and some other things, a little unusual. So thanks for praying. The Lord is faithful and gracious, and in Him we have everything that we need. Also, the second hour, I'm going to be getting into more detail about this, but this is worth sharing with all of you. Scott Folk, excuse me. Scott Folk, one of the main pastoral leaders at Fire Church, got a call last week from the local police department saying that there was going to be a protest outside of our church. They were informed there was going to be a gay protest outside of our church on Sunday morning. So as soon as we heard that, we reached out to the local gay community. I reached out on radio, and we posted announcements saying, "We welcome you. We're so glad that you're coming. And you'll meet with the only thing you ever get from us, which is love and respect." We have been a presence at gay pride events. We have handed out gospel literature. We have handed out free bottles of water that says Jesus loves you. We've had prayer meetings with as many as 500 people praying and fasting across the street from the event while others went into the event and shared the gospel. That's who we've been. That's who we are. And we told them that we'd love for you to be at the service or outside the service. And we prepared to meet them with bottles of water and snacks and just to show them the love of God. Well, they came, and I said, "Please don't come just two or three of you. We'd like there to be a good crowd of you because we're praying for them, and we want to share the gospel with them face-to-face because they have a certain caricatured notion of us, a certain understanding of who we are, a certain viewpoint that we are hate-filled homophobes, and we know that love never fails. Love conquers all." So I was actually out of the country. I was ministering in Canada over the weekend, but 10 folks did show up. They got there before the service. They were greeted with so much love and compassion that they left and said, "You guys are too nice. You don't deserve a protest." I'll share more about that and our response and how we are determined to continue to reach out. The word the Lord gave me back in early 2005, as it built in my heart in 2004, reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. Okay, I'm going to be answering some e-questions and other questions over the course of the broadcast today, but I have a major question for you. Major question for you. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, he is the founder and spiritual leader of the Shas Party, Orthodox Jewish Party, mainly of Yemenite background in Israel, a very, very influential Orthodox Jewish leader. He is calling on his followers to ask God to wipe out evil ones who threaten Israel. It's the second straight week he has said that we should be imploring God to wipe out and destroy Iran and Hezbollah since they want to destroy Israel. What do you think about prayers like that? Should we be praying for that? Is that righteous or is that contrary to the spirit of the New Testament? 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted and blessed to be with you. 866-348-7884. Okay. Everyone that is even mildly conscious of the news in the Middle East knows that Iran continues to call for the destruction of Israel, that Iran is underwriting a lot of the terrorist activity. When you hear about terrorist activity in Iraq and Muslims killing Muslims in Iraq, a lot of that is financed and goaded on by Iran. We know that Iran moves closer and closer to capability of having a nuclear weapon. We know that some of the Iranian leaders do believe that they are in some type of end-time scenario, just as many Christians believe they are in some type of end-time scenario. So the article here in Jerusalem Post notes that Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, who is the spiritual leader and the founder of the Shas Party, Orthodox Jewish Party in Israel, there are several. This is one of the most influential. Speaking on Saturday night, Yosef talked about the tradition on the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, of eating various fruits and vegetables as positive portents for the years ahead. Quote, when we make the blessing on the dates that our enemies, so the fruit dates, not calendar dates, when we make the blessing on the dates that, quote, our enemies and haters should be ended, we should have in mind the Iranian regime, those evil people who threaten Israel. The rabbi said, do good, God, wipe them out. Kill them, he entreated, to which the assembled crowd answered, Amen. He also said, when eating the leek, traditionally eaten as part of the symbolic service for the good coming year, when we say that our enemies and foes and anyone who desires to do evil should be cut off, we should have in mind Hezbollah and Iran. Quote, destroy them, God, obliterate them from the face of the earth, he said, adding a verse from where? The book of Psalms. Some call on chariots and horses, but we will invoke the name of God, our Lord. They collapse and fall down, but are risen and gather strength. Now, here's a question for you. I want to put this out for discussion. Is it right to pray prayers like that? Would it have been right in Nazi Germany as it was rising up to pray, God, destroy the Nazis, destroy Nazi Germany? When we pray, Lord, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, Lord, your kingdom come, your name be hallowed. Does that include the destruction of the enemies of Israel or the enemies of the church or the enemies of God? When we pray, Lord, come quickly, even so, Lord, come. It says in 2 Thessalonians 1, he's going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't know God. Aren't we then praying for judgment and vengeance? When he comes, when the great Babylon falls in the book of Revelation, whoever or whatever that symbolizes, when Babylon falls, God's people say hallelujah. Everyone rejoices. And there are psalms praying for destruction of the wicked in the Old Testament. Or is that completely contrary to the spirit of Jesus? Didn't Jesus forbid his disciples from calling down fire on the Samaritans in Luke, the 9th chapter, when they wanted to pass through their region? The Samaritans said no, and disciples wanted to call down fire. One text may not be part of the original, says you don't know what spirit you're of. The Son of Man hasn't come to destroy lives, to save lives. Some of that seems to be in the original. Some may be a later addition. But clearly, he forbids them from calling down fire, and that's certainly in harmony with the revelation of the New Testament, that the Son of Man didn't come to destroy lives, but to save them. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Aren't we to bless those who curse us and pray for those who persecute us and despitefully use us? So what's your take? What do you think about this? Is it right? I'm not talking about Ovadia Yosef to talk to fellow Jews, because within Judaism, there would be a certain aspect of praying for judgment and praying for vengeance that's different than many Christians would have, different than the attitude of many believers. But I'm asking you, as a follower of Jesus, whether you're a Jew or Gentile, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about praying for the destruction of Iran and Hezbollah, the destruction of those who say they want to destroy Israel? Or should our only prayer be, God, save them? God, have mercy on them. God, bring them to yourself and then protect innocent people in Iran and in Israel. Another question for you. Another question. If we go to war, let's say when we went to war against the Taliban in Afghanistan, or we went to war to take down Saddam Hussein, let's say there was less controversy about the Afghan war in its beginnings, at least. As the war drags on, people become war weary. You look at the terrible suffering, the American casualties, other international casualties, casualties among the people of Afghanistan, and these things just become weightier and weightier as each year goes on. But certainly at the beginning of the war, going in to take out the Taliban, there was great support across America in the light of 9/11, in the wake of 9/11, in the wake of the fact that the Taliban would not surrender Osama bin Laden. Well, should we have been praying for the destruction of the Taliban? In other words, if we're going to war, should we be praying for their destruction? I mean, if you say, I could never pray for their destruction, well, then how could we go to war? Just putting out some questions for you. 866-34-TRUTH. I have a certain reaction when I see that prayer being prayed by Ovadia Yosef and encouraging people to pray it. I have a certain reaction to it. I'll share what that is a little later. But I want to get your reaction as well. By the way, one really quick thing. In terms of the upcoming elections, just throwing out something that's separate, then I'm going to take your calls and the Ovadia Yosef prayer. In terms of the upcoming elections, I cannot, in good conscience, vote for Mr. Obama as president. I've made that very clear for a number of strong reasons. With reluctance, I will probably vote for Mitt Romney, but I want to see actually where things come down with the Republican platform. There are some claims already that Romney's people are trying to soften some of the platform and not have it as staunchly conservative. We shall see. All right, the elections are still a long ways off. But in terms of overall party platforms, I am much more with the Republican platform than the Democratic platform, okay? Although I absolutely do not identify with either party. I'm not saying it's sin if you do. I don't. Very wrong for me to, okay? It's not because I'm on the radio. It's just the way my heart orients and relates. Now, here you have a hurricane disrupting the beginning of the Republican convention. And, you know, people could say, well, is God sending that or what's going on or delays? Well, let me just say this. If the Republicans are supposed to be standing for righteousness when it comes to life in the womb, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to Israel and some other things, and they're not, it would not surprise me in the least that the dealings of God would be there. Now, am I saying God sent the hurricane to disrupt the convention? No, I'm just saying, if you think that's odd, why isn't there one coming to Charlotte with the Democratic National Convention? God's dealings are a lot different than ours. That's all. That's all. Enough said. 866-34-TRUTH. And I'm just going to get your input and give my response later. So if someone says something that sounds completely outlandish or outrageous, you can respond to it. Don't expect me to weigh in on every call here. Jackie in East Orange, New Jersey, you are first up. What's your take on the call to pray for the destruction of Iran?
Well, there is a time and place for such prayers, because I was even thinking of when I read in the Old Testament the times when God told the Israelites, when they were to take over a land, to destroy infant and suckling, which could be very uncomfortable for people to read and believe, because God knew that if they grew up, that they would either turn Israel's heart away from the true and living God, or else they would even destroy Israel. You see, God knows the hearts of people, and and one of the rules of engagement in war is there's going to be destruction. And, you know, God said in his word, I will bless those that bless you to Israel, and I will hate those who hate you. So, you know, Iran is about destruction. They're about hate. And God is the God of life. So I do agree with the rabbi.
Got it. All right, Jackie, thank you for weighing in very clearly and very decisively. Ron in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
This is Ron from Brooklyn.
Yes, yes, please go ahead.
I'm just saying that it's my take from reading the Old Testament, New Testament, that the Old Testament basically deals with nations, and the New Testament definitely deals with individuals. And so from an individual standpoint, yes, we pray for people's salvation. Yes, we treat them with love in face of abuse, you know, things like that. I'm just putting it out there that it might be a bit different in terms of nations.
Yep, nations versus individuals. Got it. All right, thanks for throwing that out, Ron. Back with more of your calls and my comments. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Asking the question, how do we as followers of Jesus, Jew and Gentile followers of Jesus, respond to the sentiments of one of the leading rabbis in Israel? He's an elderly man now, very influential, wide following among Orthodox Jews in Israel, especially those of Sephardic background in particular. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef saying that we should be praying, calling on his followers to be praying for God to wipe out and destroy Iran and Hezbollah, much as the way the psalmist would pray for God to destroy the enemies of Israel. You still pray prayers like that in the Old Testament. Or are prayers like this inappropriate in light of the Great Commission to go into all the world and make disciples of the nations? After all, these are people for whom Jesus died, that we're to reach with the love of God and the message of repentance. Are we to pray for God to destroy them because they want to destroy Israel and take other innocent lives? 866-34-TRUTH. Eileen in Coram on Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, I disagree with that prayer completely. When we destroy the wicked, we're also asking to destroy all of the unsaved as well. You know, mm-hmm. When it's even so, come Lord Jesus. You know, take your time. You know, I have plenty of people, my husband, my foster son, who are yet to be saved. Please give them another day. Give them an opportunity. No, I want everyone, every human being to have that opportunity. And, you know, otherwise, well, what are we doing? Are we, it's like Muhammad, you know, who taught one thing and then rejected it and chose violence.
Got it. All clear, Eileen. Thank you for weighing in passionately as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Donovan in Brooklyn, thank you for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Donovan, are you there?
Hello. Good morning. Good afternoon,
yes.
I should say.
Yes, go ahead, please.
I'm calling about the prayer of the man that's praying.
Yes.
I think what they need to do is to pray that God can solve the problem, because the Bible says God creates all calamities. And what we need to do is to pray that God may save these people, because what they're doing is not of God, is because of sin. Why they're doing these things?
Got it. All right. Yep. All clear, Donovan. I appreciate you weighing in. Again, I'll give you some of my thoughts as we get a little further into this. I just want to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, can you just pray the Psalms and pray accordingly for judgment on the enemies of Israel? Those that want to kill, maim, destroy? Or is this very contrary to the mindset and spirit of the New Testament? Chris in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, I actually have 2 points that I want to say. One,
yeah.
I know that Iran is Babylon in the end time prophecy. They have a role to play in the coming of Christ, especially during the time of the Antichrist. So why would we want destruction? Something that God has placed in order to come to fruition.
Okay.
It almost seems like we're praying for the destruction of something that God wants to live. My second point is when Peter goes to preach the gospel at a certain city, they rebuke him. And so whenever he leaves, he goes to call down fire on the city. Well, God rebukes Peter for wanting to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So why would we pray for the destruction of an entire nation?
Yep, all clear, Chris. Thank you for weighing in, and I cited that example also in Luke, the 9th chapter, earlier. Let me grab another call here. Matt in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I don't even know why I'm calling, but I hear so many times that nobody knows the judgments of God.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. And I think we've all seen in our lives that to pray for anything in that respect, I think we should be praying for the rabbi and those people there, because mm-hmm. they are the great repository of that initial Abrahamic faith. And it, even though we're Christians, I think in a lot of respects we can still look to them, because they still most likely require great acts of faith at critical times like this. But I often find that things come from heaven in reverse. So never pray for anything that just pray for your own patience and that you know the will of God.
Got it. All clear, Matt. Let me just jump in because I've got a break coming up here. But thank you for the call and the call to pray for the rabbi. I'll tell you what, I'll take some more calls on the other side of the break, so hang in there, folks. I'll take some more calls on the other side of the break. I don't want to have to rush anyone. Let me say a few things. I do believe that we have largely lost sight of the righteousness of divine judgment in our thinking, that we have largely lost sight of the fact that one day there will be a final judgment of those that God considers wicked and unrighteous, and what he does will be right, and what he does will be cause of praise because he is good and everything he does is good. And I think that we have such a mentality of sympathy sometimes for the criminal and sympathy for the victimizer because, well, they were victimized themselves, that we've often lost sight of the righteousness of judgment. And the fact that when Jesus returns, he will return with judgment and flaming fire. At the same time, I'm absolutely moved by the spirit of the New Testament to be praying for mercy for the nations, to be praying for God's great salvation to be poured out in Iran and Hezbollah. In fact, tens of thousands of Muslims are coming to faith in Iran on a regular basis, according to all reports that we hear. I would pray for protection of all involved. I would pray for God's will to be done in terms of war or destruction. God's will, nothing less, nothing more. And then pray for mercy and repentance in the fulfilling of the Great Commission. That's how I would pray. I would very much not pray the way Rabbi Yosef was praying. But there's more to discuss in terms of, do we ever pray for the destruction of the wicked? During Nazi Germany, would it have been right to pray for the destruction of the Nazis? We'll talk more about that in the next half hour for those who will still be with us. Now, I was in Canada ministering this weekend, and I was met by so many people in tears, thanking me for the impact that our books and materials had had on them. It was very moving and humbling. And one of the most important books is in my series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, Volume 1, which covers the big general issues, including church history and persecution, and even the Holocaust. The book is $25 plus postage. You can get it today, $25 postage paid, plus for free, we'll give you the Think It Through TV episode where I share my testimony back on Long Island from LSD to PhD. But call right now to order 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on the online bookstore for the special offer. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. You'll be blessed. Take advantage of this. And again, keep your focus where it belongs. Jesus is Lord.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. I've put out a question, got a lot of responses on my Facebook page, and our phone lines lit up. The question was, is it right for followers of Jesus, Jew or Gentile, today to be praying for the destruction of Iran and Hezbollah as called for by Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, controversial Orthodox Jewish leader in Israel? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want to put out another question for you. I want to put out another unrelated question for you, and I will take a few more calls on this. I've shared some of my thoughts, but I will take a few more calls on this. Does God have a controversy with the Republican Party? Now, I'm asking this question because the Republican National Convention is about to start, delays because of Hurricane Isaac and related problems with that. We pray for grace and safety for those who are in the midst of the hurricane's path outside of the states and in the states. And by the way, last week when on Friday when I had found out that I had a case of West Nile virus and we kind of made it into a game for folks to guess the condition, perhaps you know someone who suffered terribly because of that. My heart absolutely goes out to them, be it a family member or friend. The last thing I was doing was making light of the sickness, but because whatever it is a mild case in my case and something that we're just pushing through on a daily basis until complete healing comes, we were just, it was so absurd and crazy to even hear it that, you know, Nancy and I just thought, you know, share it on the air. And then I had the thought of whoever guesses it gets a free book giveaway. But afterwards we were chatting, you know, maybe someone suffered from it in a serious way. And it's a friend or family member. So just wanted to mention that if anything seemed insensitive. And thanks for your continued prayers. But when you pray for me, I'm sure you know someone sicker than me. Pray for that person, all right? Pray for the healing of that person and God's mercy to be poured out. But my other question, and I want to take a few more calls on the Iran situation. But my other question is this. You know my stand. Before Mr. Obama was elected, I warned that he could well be the most gay activist president we've ever had, the most pro-abortion president we've ever had, and of course had concerns about where he would stand on Israel. He has gone beyond some of our worst fears, although we continue to pray for him and his family. And if he's reelected, then we pray even harder. But in no way could I possibly vote for him. At the same time, you know I am not an enthusiastic supporter of Mitt Romney, and I have issues with the Republican establishment and the Democratic establishment and the political establishment. And it's almost like don't rock the boat too much because we're the good old boys. We've been entrenched here for years. Don't rock the boat too much. Do you believe? And I'm asking you, not if you're a Democrat and not if you're a supporter of Mr. Obama, but if you do not want to see Mr. Obama reelected, do you believe that God has serious issues with the Republican Party? Do you feel that there's a platform calling for righteousness in a certain level, but it's not lived out? There's hypocrisy. Do you believe there has been selling out and compromise? Just curious. Do you believe that the election of Mitt Romney is absolutely the worst thing that could happen in terms of a turning for righteousness? And I'm not even talking about the Mormonism issue. I'm just curious. The reason I ask is whenever you see hurricanes, you think, okay, the hurricane potentially disrupting the Democratic National Convention, the Republican National Convention. What if one came completely out of the blue and unexpected and unprecedented to Charlotte next week, a little over a week from now, for the Democratic National Convention, and the whole thing was shut down with people say, oh, divine judgment. Well, what happens to Republicans? Just throwing out some food for thought on this Monday. On the Line of Fire, back with your call. Stay with us.
Change
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today. We put out a few questions for you. A first question being, can we as followers of Jesus take the counsel of Rabbi Avadya Yosef, one of the leading Orthodox rabbis in Israel, spiritual leader and founder of the Shas Party, one of the most influential Orthodox parties, primarily Sephardic Jews in Israel. And he is calling for the destruction of Iran and Hezbollah, saying this is in keeping with Jewish thought, Jewish prayer, which prays for the destruction of Israel's enemies. Can we pray that as New Testament believers, or should we have a different spirit and attitude? And what if it had been Nazi Germany and the Nazis are slaughtering innocent Jews and many others? Should we pray for the destruction of the Nazis? Is this different now? 866-34-TRUTH. And also on a completely unrelated note, as the Republican National Convention is slated to start, does God have a controversy with the Republican Party? Non-controversial questions, right? 866-348-7884. Tomorrow we've got a very special guest, seminary professor Dr. Peter Jones, with some tremendous insights on the system of the world versus God's way and God's system. Tremendous insights, and I believe we're going to have a fascinating interview tomorrow from 2 to 3 Eastern Standard Time, and hopefully we'll be taking your calls as well. All right, back to the phones. Brian in the Bronx, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, how you doing? God bless you.
God bless you.
Well, I feel like this. First and foremost, where's the grace?
Mm-hmm.
We're in the New Testament time. We live our lives based on the New Testament. The New Testament. I'm hearing all of this about the Old Testament and how God was vengeful. But we're not living our lives based on that anymore. Our lives mm-hmm. are based off of the New Testament and off of grace. So first and foremost, even us as Gentile believers, we have to keep that in mind. And it, you know, hearing what this rabbi was praying, you know, it makes me think about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, where Abraham was interceding on behalf of Lot. And, you know, it was destroyed because there was no one righteous. Now, we know in Iran that there are Christians being converted every single day. Mm-hmm. So for us to agree with this prayer, I mean, it's actually going against everything that we base our walk on.
Got it. Hey, Brian, thank you for weighing in very, very clearly. Again, I'm not giving my individual responses to each call. I want you to hear them and be able to respond. Thank you, sir, for weighing in very clearly. 866-34-TRUTH. Marion in Boston, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm just going to say just a couple of things. I would not want to be standing in Rabbi's shoes, because what he's going through, those of us here, New Testament, Old Testament, we're not going through that. So the man's praying what's on his heart, and I pray for him. But I also know, as a New Testament believer, one of the hardest scriptures that I had a tough time with when I first became a Christian was the fact that God was asking me to pray for these knuckleheads that said all kind of things about me and persecuted me. But then uh-huh. I had to grow into that and had to say, okay, God. And then I learned, because he said vengeance is his, and God always keeps his promise, and he's promised Israel, we can stand assured that God's going to take care of the enemies of Israel. We don't have to pray against them, but pray for them. Because when God sends the destruction on the enemies of Israel, I would not want to be standing in their shoes. I have compassion for the rabbi. And as far as the Republican Party is concerned, isn't this kind of hurricane season for that area anyway?
Oh yeah. I mean, the question is, and thanks for the comments, Mary. The larger hurricane issue, I did a show a few years ago, Does God Send Hurricanes? And one of the calls I remember best was someone saying, if God was going to get our attention with a hurricane, wouldn't he send it to a different part of the country at the wrong time of the year? But thank you for weighing in. And the hurricane just raised my question. The hurricane itself is not the issue. just to make that clear. All right, Bill in San Diego, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. How are you today? I wanted to, on both of your subject matters, they both tie together. I can't find anything in the Bible other than to pray for that people have freedom to express their belief and so forth. Just like praying for Jerusalem, I believe that that's what it's saying. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, is peace that people can express their Christianity or their Judaism or whatever there. And all this, I put all this other kind of prayer in the same category where people are saying, God, will you open up the heavens and send down to our land here and our particular street or our particular highway or whatever. These prayers, I don't think, go beyond the ceiling, because the Bible just instructs you to pray for that the leaders of every nation allows people to live in a peace of freedom of their expression of what they believe.
Come to faith. So 1 Timothy 2, that pray for leaders and others in authority that we could live peaceable, quiet lives in all godliness and honesty, and, of course, pray for their salvation. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me grab one more call about the rabbi. Charles in Wynn, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown. I happened to see you in Malden, Mass. When you were there.
Great.
But anyway, I just think a lot of what everyone said is kind of valid. And I think that it's the heart that God sees. So I think the prayer is only valid if it's from a heart, not like the Sons of Thunder there, but a heart of, full of grace and peace in it. But I think God sees the heart, kind of like turning the other cheek. If someone's in danger and you have to use physical force to stop that person from getting hurt, you know, not being a pacifist, I think it has to do with the heart. God sees the heart. So, I'm not quite sure about the validity of the rabbi's prayer for a Christian, but maybe in a certain circumstance, if the heart is right.
Got it. All right. Well, I appreciate that, Charles. I appreciate you weighing in. Just got another call just came in, so I'm going to go a little out of order here. Someone else in agreement with the rabbi. Brother Jameson in Houston, you agree with the rabbi's prayer, sir?
Oh, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you why.
Please.
One thing... of the promise God made to Abraham that he's going to bless those that bless him. And one thing we ought to do is pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And as long as you got this madman over there in Iran, that he's always going to be plotting and planning and trying to conspire to destroy Israel. And anyone else that attached themselves to them, I think that God ought to rise and his enemies be scattered.
Got it. All right, sir, I appreciate you weighing in, and I appreciate the logic behind that. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm not going to take any more calls on the rabbi's prayer. I think we heard a lot of good input from both sides. I just want to summarize, and I'm going to take a few calls about my question on the Republican Party. I just want to summarize my viewpoint. Number one, it's always good to pray what we call the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6 and Luke 11, to pray that with specific application to individual situations, nations, congregations, cities, regions. So, God, I pray for Israel. I pray for Iran. And I pray for Hezbollah, whatever else you want to put on that list. Lord, that in these nations and in these groups, your name would be hallowed. The name of Yahweh would be exalted and reverenced. Lord, I pray that your kingdom would come with power in decisive ways to these regions, and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, ultimately, we're praying for the return of Jesus, where he sets up his kingdom on the earth, and the will of God is carried out on earth as it is in heaven, where the whole world is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. That's what we're ultimately praying for. But for here and now, we're praying, God, your will, have your way, intervene according to your plan, and have mercy on the Muslims, on the Jews, have mercy on the Arabs and the Iranians, have mercy on the different people groups, and reveal Jesus to them, and get yourself a harvest for the nations, and hold back anything premature in terms of bloodshed, destruction, that Satan is seeking to stir up. That's how I would pray. So I appreciate the sentiments of those who would pray along with the rabbi, but I would pray differently. But recognizing that there may be times for upheaval and judgment that God brings, but let God be the one to decide that. And then pray for justice. Pray for justice. Pray for justice. Justice and mercy.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today. Those of you that might tune in here and there and hear the rare day that I'm taking issue with something the president has said might think that this is just another conservative talk show or that I am a Democrat basher or an Obama basher. Those that have been listening for any period of time know it's anything but that. My orientation is very much gospel first, politics in relationship to gospel. The revolution that I long for is moral, cultural, spiritual, and that although it will affect politics, it will not be politically based. It will be Jesus-based, coming through the people on a grassroots level. And if in fact, we have a Republican president, you'll hear me taking issue with a Republican president just as I would with a Democrat. I am, in that sense, completely nonpartisan. It's not us and them in terms of Republican-Democrat. It's us and them in terms of the world that rejects Jesus and those of us who know him. And it's our mission to lay down our lives, not with violence, not with hatred, not with anger, not with intimidation, but with the love of God, to reach out with gentleness and with truth, without fear, without compromise. So I've just put a question out on the table. Do you think that God has a problem or contention with the Republican Party? And I ask for you not to call if you are a Democrat or a supporter of Mr. Obama. I'm curious either from those who would be independent or Republican, because I hear from a lot of conservative friends that are very unhappy with many things within the Republican Party. So hence a question for you. And we'll start with Gene in Irvington. Oh, Gene in Irvington, Virginia, we lost. We'll go to Mark in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Hey, Mark, what's up with the hurricane in Louisiana right now?
Just a lot of fear. Just a lot of people being cautious in a good way. So
what's the prognosis? What's the latest prognosis in the natural?
We're looking at 60 to 80 mile an hour winds in the Baton Rouge, Lafayette area in Wednesday.
At the very got it.
So I think, you know, we're just heading out of town because we had the luxury with some friends up
got
in
it.
Dallas. But anyway, I first time I've heard your program, and as someone who does a lot of interdenominational work with charities, and I have friends that are Catholic, I have friends that are Methodist, I have friends that are Episcopalians, and they all have fights amongst themselves about a variety of issues. I will tell you that when you said that about God judging the Republicans, one of the things I would ask people to do is rather than get up into that 30,000-foot discussion, is look at what the tenets of your faith are. And one of the things that I, having been raised Catholic and I'm no longer Catholic, and I have a lot of respect for what they do, especially with the pro-life movement, is I found it absolutely repulsive that, to me as a Christian, that even in their own Catholic faith, about five or six of their tenets of their faith are in direct line with what the Republican Party stands for, yet 55% of them vote Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I've said the same thing about my Jewish friends. About 80%
yep.
of the Jews in New York vote for a president who's a very pro-Palestinian supporter. So I would
yep.
just ask us on the ground level to have one-on-one conversations with our friends and clarify what their beliefs are. Clarify, you know, I go to church somewhere not because it's an appearance thing or because I do business there or because it's a charismatic preacher who wears $1,500 suits and makes me laugh. That's not why I go to church.
Right.
I go to church because we walk our faith. We feed the homeless. We work in the prisons. And, yeah, do we struggle a little bit? Sure. But, you know, get on the ground level and talk to your friends. And don't be afraid to ask them, you know, because this election won't be swayed by that blue-collar guy sitting in Ohio right now who is looking for a job and doesn't really know. He's maybe grown up as a Democrat.
Yeah, and Mark, just got to jump in because I'm close to the end of the show. I'm with you on the points you're making, absolutely, and we have to live and vote in consistency with our faith. This is an important election. There's no question. I do want to say what's much, much more important than the election is revival and awakening among God's people. That's where we must put our greatest emphasis. Just looking at some other calls, don't have a chance to get to. Frederick, I appreciate your thought. God isn't the only one that could have sent the storm. Could just be purely natural cause. Could it be that Satan sends a storm? That's a discussion for another day. Suzanne, appreciate your comment that God doesn't like greed and corruption in the Republican Party. I'm sure there's greed and corruption in the Democratic Party and greed and corruption in the Republican Party. And until we see deeper repentance and righteousness rise in parties, there's going to be only limited amount of good that parties can actually do. A ton of comments on Facebook. I haven't even read a single one of them on the air. But thank you all for weighing in with your thoughts. And the reason I put these questions on there, sometimes I read them on the air, but it's to open up for discussion. All right, friends, I want to encourage you to take advantage of a special offer that's kind of a personal one for me this week. When I got saved, I got bombarded with questions from rabbis, Orthodox rabbis. They were almost to a person very kindly men, very caring, very learned, and some spent hours and hours with me and challenged me on what I believed. And even though I knew that Jesus had radically changed my life and I had a vibrant walk with the Lord, I knew that they had questions I didn't have answers for. When I tried to find answers in other books and materials, I didn't find what I was looking for. Maybe there are things in past generations written that I wasn't aware of. Over the years, through my many hours of dialogue with rabbis, counter-missionaries, different leaders in the Jewish community, and reading the literature through the years, I compiled a 5-volume series called Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. And this weekend when I was in Canada, I met people, Jewish family, and I asked one of the brothers to send me the whole testimony, which I believe he will shortly, about how so many family members were affected, but how once he came to faith, reading my books is what strengthened him and removed the doubts. And then his father, who was a non-believer 60-plus years, watched these Think It Through episodes, these Jewish TV outreach shows we recorded. Father and son watched these online, and then he read the books, and now he is a firm, committed believer, and it spread to other family members. And I was just so gratified and blessed to hear that, because that's why I worked so many years, really decades, on putting these things together. And the best-selling of the 5 volumes to this day is Volume 1 that deals with general objections, you know, historical objections and the church's persecution of Israel. And hey, if Jesus is the Messiah, why isn't there peace on earth? What about the Holocaust and other things? It remains great reading for believers and for non-believers. But here's what we're doing today. If you get the book, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, which is normally $25 plus postage, we'll pay the postage on it and give you absolutely free the TV show we did where I reenacted, shared my testimony from LSD to PhD back at some of the places where these things happened on Long Island. You'll get that free, that DVD. So call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go online to askdrbrown.org and just click on the online bookstore. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, friends, we need a massive revolution throughout the entire world. Incremental changes are not the issue, but it must start with us. The transformation of our lives, encountering God afresh, and as we are changed, we can go and bring change to the world. Well, I've got to give you an update on the gay protest at Fire Church this Sunday morning. The outcome was blessed.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us this Monday on The Line of Fire. We had a blessed weekend. I want to report that to you. And I want to take your calls on a question relating to our posture, our stance. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I very briefly reported on this in the first hour, but I wanted to save the discussion for this second hour because this second hour is broadcast all over North Carolina. Of course, Blankets, Charlotte, where we're based here, right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, as well as gets to many other key cities in America. But I want to make sure our friends in North Carolina heard this. So there's a question I'm going to pose to you in a little while, but I want to give you an update, want to give you a report, want to let you know how we modeled some things. Our friends listening on WNIV in Atlanta, we are hoping to have a public dialogue debate on homosexuality in the Bible before the year is out, looking for the right venue to do that. And we'd love to bring this to many cities where you are. But right now we have the joy of doing it via radio. So thanks for joining us. And thanks for those praying for my healing. As you may have heard Friday, I got sick when I was in India, didn't know what the issue was, came back, found out that I had a case of West Nile virus, which is supposed to stay in your body like 30 days. So I'm completely sure in the Lord that I'm not going to have any of the serious debilitating symptoms that can come with that, but trusting with you that the problems, the fatigue and the other junk that I'm going through would pass quickly and that it would be out of my system within 30 days. So thanks for praying. I do appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Okay, here is the background. Scott Volk, one of the lead pastors at Fire Church, that's the congregation of which I'm basically the founder. I'm not the pastor. I've never been the pastor of it. I'm basically the founder of the school, the church, the missions organization, which is run by our team of leaders. Fire Church is my home congregation. It is where I preach once a month. Fire School of Ministry is my base school where I teach our students in our ministry school on Tuesday nights. Fire International, our missions base that covers our missionaries around the world. Many of you heard an interview I did last week with Eric and Jenny McCoy, two of our many missionaries in the Philippines. So this is the home base here, Fire. And it just so happens, because we love the concept of God's fire, that it's also the name of the broadcast in the Line of Fire, but different type of fire here. Well, Scott Volk gets a call from local policemen in our city saying that there's going to be a protest outside of our service Sunday morning. And at this protest, there's going to be members of the gay and lesbian community protesting Fire Church. And they put out an announcement saying that they were going to have a peaceful protest. And this is what they said: make your signs and banners. Keep the love going as we peacefully protest Fire Church Sunday after Pride, meaning the gay pride event on Saturday. During the Pride event, you'll have a chance to hear Flip Benham and other representatives of Fire Church throwing damnation our way. Let's show them that they cannot come into our community and intimidate us. We'll meet just before service begins and protest as they gather. We'll have a silent protest as service is going and let them have it as they leave for the day. Remember, we will be peaceful and respectful, something that they don't understand. We're going to stand together as a community to show that our love is stronger than their hate. We now have parking across the street, so-and-so. Well, the long and short of it is we invited them to come and said, wonderful, we've been praying for you. And we said, we hope that it won't just be three or four. We hope there'll be a good turnout. Ended up being 10 people. But after talking to a number of our congregants who greeted them with love, with snacks, with water, they said, you guys are too nice. You don't deserve a protest. And left. Oh, there's a lot more to the story. Stay with us.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today. And any that may be listening that were part of the peaceful protest at Fire Church Sunday morning and that may have heard our invitation to be listening in today, if you'd like to call, share your point of view, feel that we're misunderstanding or misrepresenting you, we'll put your call right at the top of the list, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Now, I've got a question for the general audience listening, but I'll come to that in a moment, all right? So we get word that there's going to be a peaceful protest at the church Sunday. We're really excited to hear that. We immediately were praying for ways to reach out and demonstrate the love of God and be who we've always been. I've publicly apologized to the gay and lesbian community of Charlotte for sins of the church, for failure to be compassionate, for pushing people away instead of offering them the transforming grace and love of God, and adding to a sense of rejection instead of proclaiming the gospel that Jesus died equally for all people and offer salvation equally to all people. Well, nonetheless, I get blasted by folks who don't know me, and that's fine. That's part of the turf. I expect that. I get blasted for standing against gay activism, which is then perceived as hate or called hate. Nonetheless, we're going to combat hate with love and truth, not with responsive hate, not with rhetoric, not with anger. But if someone accuses us of hate, we'll demonstrate love, but we won't back away from the truth because we believe that's the ultimate expression of love. Now, Flip Benham is a colleague here in the greater Charlotte area. His sons, David and Jason, and their families have been longtime part of Fire congregation. And in fact, we share a building together as they're in a blessed real estate business honoring the Lord. But Flip Benham is an entirely separate ministry. There is no formal ministry relationship between his ministry and ours or his ministry and our church. And he's a big boy. He's very happy to stand on his own and will gladly meet face-to-face with anyone. But we just wanted folks to know if they were coming to protest Flip, he's not part of our church. And if you're looking for Flip, I'm sure he'll talk to you, but you should probably go somewhere else because he's not part of our church or ministry, just making that clear. Whatever issues you have with me and with Fire, fine. Whatever issues you have with Flip, fine. But just wanted to clarify that. So I put out this statement immediately on our blog. This was Saturday we posted this. Fire Church welcomes Charlotte's LGBT community. On behalf of Fire Church, I want to extend you the warmest welcome and let you know that we are thrilled that you were here with us on Sunday. We have been praying for you for a long time. As always, you will only be met with love, kindness, and respect from the Fire leadership and congregants. And we proclaim to you once again the amazing grace of God. Jesus died to save us from our sins, heterosexual and homosexual alike. And only in him can we find forgiveness, redemption, and transformation. Jesus alone is the healer, savior, deliverer, and transformer. It has been my personal joy to have shared meals together with the last two editors of Q Notes, which is the gay newspaper of the Carolinas, as well as to have given an open mic to the past editor of Q Notes so he could share his own story in our church building. Our doors are open to you, our hearts are open to you, and as Jesus gave himself for your salvation and well-being, we are committed to following in his footsteps. Should you ever want to have an open forum for the purpose of mutually respectful discussion on the issues that divide us, we would gladly host that event in our church building or participate in one of yours. Let us know what we can do to help make that happen. If you're looking for Reverend Flip Benham, as per your announcement, he has an independent ministry in the city and is not affiliated with Fire. I trust he will be happy to meet with you face-to-face as well. That's what I posted and put it on Facebook so folks could see it. I got an interesting response. Others saying wonderful, thanking me for doing it. But check out this response. This is from someone named Andy, and he quotes from 2 John verses 10 and 11. If there come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that bids him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. And he said to me, please read the above verses carefully, Dr. Brown, and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. If giving an open microphone to a homosexual activist within your church building is perhaps crossing the line in your evangelization efforts, you're not going to their turf to preach your message. They don't want you on their turf. You're allowing them, people are rejecting of the gospel, to come into your home and preach their message. Not only is this action extremely naive, but it's also ignoring the clear message and warning given in Scripture by the Apostle John in the second epistle, exclamation point. I might ask just who is evangelizing whom here? Who is evangelizing whom here? And of course, I replied to this immediately. I don't want to tell you my response yet, but I did reply immediately. 866-34-TRUTH. Here's my question for you. What do you think of what Andy had to say? What do you think about our approach? At the gay pride events, normally every year we have folks sharing the gospel. We're certainly there, quote, on their turf. We're not doing it in a way to try to disrupt their meetings. In fact, police won't allow that. If you have a public gathering, it doesn't matter who it is, and others go in there to try to disrupt it, that wouldn't be allowed, nor is that our intent. But we will be there sometimes with hundreds of people sharing the gospel, sharing the love of God. So in that sense, quote, on their turf, well, it's all God's turf. We'll go wherever and share the gospel, wherever there's an open door. But we had an open forum. We had an open forum in our church a few years ago called Can You Be Gay and Christian? I personally went with a team to the Gay Pride event, and we handed out hundreds and hundreds of flyers. And I personally went to different gay and lesbian clergy in the city and gay-affirming clergy and said, would you please come? We're going to have a panel discussion. We're going to have a panel discussion, and we'll each take 30 minutes and lay out our views. There'll be no gay bashing permitted. You can lay out your view, can you be gay and Christian? I'll lay out my view, can you be gay and Christian? And then we'll take questions from the audience, but we'll make sure there's no gay bashing. And every one of them invited declined. Basically didn't get back to us. Word was they were declining. Nobody showed. Nobody showed from the other side. So we ended up having a panel discussion. Frank Turek, a local teacher and apologist. He's been on the air with me many a time. Stephen Bennett, an evangelist who himself came out of homosexuality as a powerful testimony. He called into the broadcast a few weeks ago, in fact. And myself, we discussed the issues, and then we had open mic Q&A. And there is a young gay activist there that we befriended and reached out to named Matt. And he was the past editor of Q Notes, the gay newspaper, as I said, of the Carolinas. And he was there, and he claims to be a gay Christian. And he asked for the mic and was going to share his story and how he grew up in Baptist church and how the Baptist pastor just wanted all the gays to die and so on. According to him, just wished they all go on a boat somewhere and that boat would sink. And he said he grew up with that and so on. And he shared, and then we interacted with him. We responded to him. And then our students reached out to him and even prayed for him, laid hands on him and prayed for him before the night was out. Not that God would send him out with blessing and anointing, but God would reveal his love and kindness to him. And that publicly acknowledged that although he has not met with the love of God in other evangelical churches where he's been, he did meet with the love of God from our people. He did acknowledge that. So was that giving place to a false gospel? Was that giving place, as Andy claimed in his post, to what John warns against? Was that saying to a heretic who denies the gospel, we welcome you in our home and we send you on your way with blessing? Or is that an effective way to do outreach? What do you think? Do you think within a church setting, a church building, that we can have an open forum? Maybe I could debate a rabbi. Maybe I could debate a Mormon. Maybe I could debate an atheist. Maybe I could debate a gay activist. And they will lay out their viewpoints in the presence of believers. Are we empowering them to do that? Should we only do it on, quote, their turf and ask them to do what we're not willing to do? Or is there a place for open dialogue, discussion, open sharing of different views if we're convinced that we're on the side of truth and we are on the side of the gospel? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. Now, again, for those just tuning in, there were a number of peaceful protesters that came to the fire church service this Sunday, and left, I think, even before it began, because they said you guys are too nice and don't deserve a protest. Now, we stand where we stand. We stand for righteousness. We stand for marriage. We stand for the scriptures. And we are absolutely committed to showing the love of God to all people. Again, the word God gave me in January of 2005, which had been building in my heart in 2004 and got articulation beginning of 2005, was reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. And of course, I get flack day and night for resisting the agenda and get called hateful and homophobic and so on. That's fine. It's for the truth. It's for the gospel. But I'm determined on a personal level and every way that I can through radio and writing to demonstrate God's love along with God's truth. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about the peaceful gay protest that started to take place at Fire Church on Sunday after interacting with our folks. The protesters basically said we were too nice to have a protest, and they went over to the home of a gentleman that they had wanted to interact with and were actually expecting to see at Fire. I just want to say before I go to the phones, I've been in interaction with an editor of gay publications online, I would say fairly influential. We started to interact a few months ago and have exchanged many heartfelt emails and are looking for an opportunity to grab a meal together when I am in his state and city. And he posted something recently about what he lived with, what he suffered with growing up. And it was very painful to read and get tormented and beaten by other boys in high school. And a common story, an all too common story. And I wrote to him just saying how deeply troubled I was. I said, every time I read this, I'm troubled. It causes me pain. I go out of my way to hear these stories. And he said, look, please don't take offense, but you know I believe it's beliefs like yours and this religious homophobia that creates an atmosphere for those kind of things to happen. I said, of course I'm not offended, and of course I understand why you feel like that. I just say that these are the types of conversations I have in the midst of standing for righteousness, and for example, we stood for the marriage amendment here. I fully understand how it can be perceived and how I can be perceived, which is why in the midst of this, I'm always seeking to have dialogue, because we are fellow human beings for whom Jesus died. And regardless of our differences, we're living in the same communities. To the extent we can know each other face to face, whatever differences we can have in a more compassionate and understanding way. Well, I'm blessed to see that we have a call from Jeff, who had put together the event at Fire Church on Sunday. Jeff, thanks for calling. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure thing. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I wanted to go ahead and let you know that I heard that you're ill, and I wanted to let you know that I'll be praying for your recovery.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. We wanted to apologize for the protest Sunday morning. It obviously was anger that was aimed the wrong direction. Once we got there Sunday morning, we were greeted with absolutely perfect love. I mean, it was fantastic. So, you know, your congregation absolutely, once we found out we're not part of Flip Benham's organization, did not deserve us to be out there in the form that we were coming. So that was my apology to you and your congregation for showing up Sunday morning.
Oh, well, first, yeah, Jeff, just first so you know, I was never concerned for a split second that you would be anything but peaceful. I just want you to know that. And our folks were not told be on guard or anything like that, as much as just demonstrate who we really are. I hope you get to know Flip face to face. I know your differences are more severe there, but perhaps he'll be different than you understand him to be. But Jeff, I appreciate that. Certainly apologies accepted, but I don't feel like you owe us an apology. You thought there was a stance to take, and you wanted to take it. The question is, Jeff, how do we, with our deep theological and social differences, and we're both passionate about those, how do we live side by side as citizens in Greater Charlotte, North Carolina? What do you think?
That's a good question. And in the last few years, I believe that relationship has been tested and stretched almost to its limit. On one hand, you have an LGBT community that is extremely tight-knit and refusing to budge on our beliefs, and then the Christian society as well is very tightly knit and refusing to budge. So there has to be some sort of a mutual understanding between both communities that we can just kind of live to disagree. Well, that was one of my statements to a leader of your congregation was, I understand that homosexuality is not, not something that you guys can stand behind and approve. But on the other hand, you're not in our face with, what I consider social terrorism. You're not out there screaming at us on a bullhorn while we're trying to walk with our children through a park or take our lunches uptown Charlotte. Street preaching has its venues and it has its places, but I don't believe that the rhetoric that comes out of some people's mouths, some of the words that they choose to use, is beneficial to either one of our communities.
Now, so, Jeff, let me ask you a question. I very much appreciate your spirit in doing this, and in no way am I asking anything or couching things in ways to try to make you look bad. In fact, in your apology and tone, you're doing quite the opposite. So please understand, I'm not trying to set you up with a question at all. I just want to give you perspective. I never really focused much on these issues. When I focused on issues about marriage and family, it was from a heterosexual viewpoint. You can read many of the books I've written where I talk about sexual purity and things like that. And my focus was always what I relate to and what most folks I know relate to, which was heterosexual issues. It's when we came to Charlotte and we're shocked by the first gay pride event that we encountered in Marshall Park in 2004, which had a lot of things, be it heterosexual or homosexual, were very embarrassing, with even some public nudity and different things and some real vulgar stuff. That's what started to get my attention. Can you just understand that just as you felt that things were intrusive, here's someone with a bullhorn, as you're just trying to have a family event of solidarity and a non-sexual event, that we felt that there are public things now coming into our city in a public park where people have families that are crude and vulgar, and that we're an expression of gay pride? That's what pushed some of us to start to take action. Can you at least recognize that perspective?
Oh, I absolutely do. I absolutely do. There are some sects in our community that, they, just like in the religious community, they push the boundaries a little too far. They don't speak for the entire community, as Flip Benham doesn't speak for your congregation. So I understand exactly what you're saying, and I'm in complete agreement. A public park is no place for nudity, no place for any kind of sexual exploits. So I agree with you.
Got it. All right, Jeff, let's do this. Again, I do hope that you have the opportunity to sit with Flip one-on-one, or some of your folks sit with him. I think it's important to do that. And, of course, to recognize on the essentials of the gospel in terms of salvation and what God requires, that Flip and evangelical churches throughout the community would see things the same way, although we may have very different methods, very different approaches. I understand that. But here's what I'd like to do. I want to guarantee you, in the presence of all my listeners, that my goal would not be to argue with you or to pull rank with educational background or anything, but simply to sit face-to-face and continue this dialogue. Would I be able to take you for lunch or dinner in the coming months, just to sit down and get to know each other face-to-face? Are you open to that?
I would welcome that.
All right, Jeff, stay right there. And whatever contact info you're comfortable to give us, be it a cell phone, email address, this will be passed on to me, nobody else. And I want to get in direct contact with you and continue the dialogue. Jeff, thank you, sir. Thank you for your call.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, friends, we just had a remarkable and wonderful phone call from Jeff. He was the organizer of the protest outside of Fire Church, the gay protest inside of Fire Church on Sunday morning. When he and the protesters got there, of course, they were welcome with the love of God and the kindness of the gospel, which they were welcome with that because that's who we are at Fire. Oh, we absolutely differ with many of the goals of gay activism, and we absolutely care for everyone involved and would lay our lives down for those who differ with us. And we often know how things can be misrepresented, misunderstood. After a few minutes there talking to our folks, we had snacks and water for them. They said that we were too nice and didn't deserve a protest and left. One of our gentlemen contacted Jeff, who had organized the protest, and gave him information about our radio show. And as we promised, if he called, we put him at the top of the list. So he called to publicly apologize for the protest and saying that it was not deserved by Fire and is very willing to sit down and have face-to-face dialogue. I'm absolutely not going to sit with Jeff to have a theological argument or to come with a Hebrew and Greek Bible and to say, I can read this, you can't, I'm right, you're wrong. No, it's to sit and interact. It's to sit and interact. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I asked a question earlier in the broadcast, how you feel about having an open forum. We did this at Fire Church some years ago, had an open forum and invited gay and lesbian clergy or straight allies to come into our church building. I forget what night of the week it was. And to come into our church building, to have an open forum, can you be gay and Christian? I was going to give their representatives equal time and guarantee there'd be no gay bashing. And obviously, I wasn't worried about Christian bashing, but if that was going to occur, we'd deal with that the same. No one was going to be bashed or attacked, but we're going to lay out our views clearly, respectfully, graciously, and obviously profound differences in our views. None of their representatives that we invited would come. It was just a young man, a gay activist, came with one of his friends. I assume a lesbian friend. I'm not sure. I think, if I recall. But we, during the open mic time Q&A, after several from our side spoke, we then opened the floor and he took the mic. I knew exactly who he was. In fact, I let him videotape the whole night. Sure, because we had nothing to hide. What about spies? Well, let him spy. We pray for people to come. We pray for people to hear the good news and to hear our posture. Oh, yeah, they'll hear us speaking for righteousness and they'll hear us alerting folks as to what's happening with gay activism. And they'll also hear us proclaiming the love of God and reaching out to those who are same-sex attracted or struggle with their gender identity. And they'll also hear us, friends, they'll also hear us ask, are you ready for a harvest of people who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender? Are you ready to have a man come into the service wearing a dress, carrying a Bible, and raising his hands and praising the Lord? Are you willing to help someone in that level of confusion? Are you going to pick up your family and move them to another row? Hey, these are serious questions to deal with. And we want our folks to be prepared with God's love. So when the protesters came, of course, they were met with God's love. That's who we are and who we've always been. They took issue in particular with one leader in the city who's not part of our congregation or affiliated with our congregation. A brother in the Lord that preaches Jesus has a different approach and method than we do. And they were upset with him and realized he was not even part of our congregation. But in any case, we had this open forum years ago. I let this young gentleman, who for a time was editor of the local gay newspaper Q Notes and has written some pretty scathing articles about me, gave him the mic, let him share his testimony. He claimed to be gay and Christian, and then we responded to him. And then our students reached out to him, even prayed for him before the night. Is that wrong? Is it wrong to open the mic and open your doors in that way? Is that giving an open door to the enemy, to Satan himself? Or is this a way to extend the gospel and to educate your people? What do you think? We'll take your calls. We come back, 866-34-TRUTH.
fire we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. That number is 866-348-7884. And thanks to all who are praying for my speedy recovery from this West Nile virus thing. Number one, I'm confident in the Lord that the severe symptoms that can be very dangerous will not touch me, in Jesus' name. And believing with you for a more speedy recovery than the 30-day cycle it's supposed to take, and just trusting God for strength in the midst of some fatigue. But I tell you, radio, man, serving you here on the air, what a joy, what a privilege, not a burden at all. And strength comes when it's time to be on the air with you. Okay, I'm going to go to the phones in a moment, but when Scott Volk, one of the lead pastors here at Fire, heard that there was going to be a protest, he immediately posted this on a gay website that was announcing it. As the pastor of Fire Church, I just want you to know that you'll be greeted with the same love and compassion as we always endeavor to show anyone. You're more than welcome. You make mention of the hate that we show. In all our years here, we've only desired to reach out with love to everyone in the local community here, whether they are labeled as gay or straight. Hopefully you'll see that love demonstrated on Sunday as you protest. Someone wrote back named Matthew, do you protest other religions and gatherings? If not, then you are cherry-picking the Bible. And he goes on, well, actually, the protest was coming to us, which he may have missed. But no, we don't cherry-pick the Bible. We say that Jesus is the only way of salvation for anyone, Jew, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist. There are Muslims gathering for prayer in Charlotte in a few days. We'll be praying in the same place before they are, asking God to save them. But check this out, some other responses to Pastor Scott's words of love. David, love is the most disfigured mask that hate wears. Sue, if what you think is reaching out in love is perceived as hateful attack, perhaps you should reconsider your actions. David, you can fool yourself, Mr. Volk, you can fool your parishioners, but you can't fool God. He knows what's in your heart, and it isn't love, it's hate. Scott replied, Lord bless you, David. Yes, I'm glad God does know what's in my heart. My only question to you would be, how do you know what's in my heart? You've never met me or spoken to me. Tom wrote, what these Fire Church people probably don't understand is that spending an eternity anywhere with them is what I would consider a true hell. They should concern themselves with their own pathetic lives and leave others alone to theirs. Scott replied, ouch, Tom. Actually, the protesters ended up leaving early today because they said we were nice, loving, and didn't deserve a protest. So I'm thankful that our love did win out. And it amazes me that the only people that have ever called me hateful were those from the GLBT community who have never met me. So here's an open invitation to those that wrote a response to my initial note that was posted here. Come and join me and my family for dinner at my house. So this is an open invitation from Pastor Scott Volk, the gay and lesbian community here in Charlotte. Come and join me and my family for dinner at my home. Spend an evening together with us. And if you feel that I'm hateful after that time, post whatever you'd like. But to call someone hateful without ever meeting them, seeing them, or hearing them speak is an indication of a heart that needs love. Scott said, I make myself available. Now, you may say to me, why don't you come to our home? We're a gay couple with kids. We got a great family. We love the Lord. Why don't you come into our home? I'd be delighted to. I'd be delighted to. Schedule permitting? I only say schedule permitting because it may take a little while to schedule it because things are busy. I'd be delighted to. It'd be a joy and honor. Hopefully my wife Nancy could come along as well, but it'd be a joy to do it. I would gladly go in your home. I would gladly have a meal with you. If your door is open, I'll come. How do you get hold of me? Just go to AskDrBrown.org, click on contact. There's a number to call. There's an email address. Easy enough to do it. All right? Or call into the station and give us your contact info. I'm very, very serious about that. Joyfully. Joyfully. And if you have a service that you want me to attend, just to sit and attend your service and think I'll learn something in doing it, if my schedule permits, again, services are tougher because of my ministry schedule and being away on weekends often. But if you'd like to invite me to one of your services with the promise that I'll just sit there quietly and watch what you do and pray as you do what you do, invite me. 866-34-TRUTH. Tony in Marietta, Georgia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, thank you, and I pray you are feeling better.
Thank you, sir.
I had the same thing, but 15 years ago, so I know what you're going through.
Seriously, that's like a pioneer in West Nile, huh?
Well, in the Pacific, they have something similar. It's not called West Nile, but it's very similar. My son gave me that bomb about 2 years ago that he was gay. And how old was he? He's 18 now. He was 16 at the time. And it kind of floored me, but I responded in love. I told him, I said, it doesn't matter. I'm always going to love you. And I wrestled for a long time on how to go beyond that. And I started listening to you about a year ago. And I remember distinctly you said one day, it's not our job to change these people. It's our job to bring them closer to the Lord. And so I concentrated on that. And let me tell you something. It's a world of difference when you do that. And I just wanted to thank you because my relationship with my son is outstanding because of that.
And Tony, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
The only thing he wrestles with is that his small church, he goes to a small Baptist church, and they don't know quite what to do with him because he does music. He likes to lead in music. And so some of the people really don't want him leading music. So there is a point of contention, and you kind of covered that a minute ago.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Tony. What does he feel God says about homosexuality?
He's at a point in his life where he's confused why the Lord made him that way. That's what's going through his head. Why did the Lord make him that way? That's where he's at.
I wonder if we could send him a book to read. It's by a fellow named Jeff Conrad, who himself came out of homosexuality, but it's called You Don't Have to Be Gay. And it's completely scripturally based Christian perspective. It may be really helpful for him to hear. I mean, obviously the number one thing is that he knows your love and God's love, and that regardless of his romantic attractions and sexual desires, he can follow Jesus. And he would have to, all of us are called to deny ourselves and take up the cross. All of us are called to say no to sin and the flesh. The homosexual person would say to us, yeah, but you can get married. You know, even if you're single, you know that one day you can get married. And if you're married, you have a sexual and romantic outlet. You're telling us we can never be married. I understand how that could sound to a young person. But for sure, if he sets his heart on pursuing God in holiness and just knowing the Lord and doing his will and says, okay, I don't understand my sexual desires and my romantic attractions. I don't understand this, but if he can stop short of saying God made him that way and recognize we're a fallen human race and that our place of wholeness is in Jesus, and many others in similar situations to his have found wholeness in the Lord without giving place to homosexuality, that's the hope before him. But Tony, I'm so blessed that you're showing him love. Just encourage him, walk with Jesus. And look, you're 18. You're not supposed to be sleeping around with anybody anyway. You're not going to be getting married. So just focus on walking with the Lord and put sexual desires, romantic attraction to the side. If you can encourage him to do this, and this is his time, just him and Jesus, because he's not marrying anybody right now and he can't be with anyone sexually right now. Him and Jesus, focus on that. He can really have some substantial breakthroughs. And I'm blessed to know that listening to the show has helped you as well. So, Tony, stay on the line. I believe we have a copy of this book in stock. Yeah, we do. And I want to send it. And just let him know it's a gift from someone he doesn't know but who cares about him, okay?
Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. Thank you.
God bless you. God bless you, Tony. So stay right there, and we will get your contact info. Jimmy in Tulsa, Oklahoma, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, sir. I have a son that announced to me he's gay. I'm divorced. He was with his mother. I wanted to know if I'm doing the right thing.
How old was he when he shared that with you?
30.
30. Okay, so you were unaware until that time?
Yes. Had no contact with him for quite some time.
Got it. Have you...
Now, here's what I did. I told him about the Bible, that it says, it all depends on whether you are declaring yourself to be a believer, a Christian, a church attender in good standing with God. Because if you do claim that, I'm supposed to not have fellowship with you, even as your biological father. I'm supposed to shun you. I'm supposed to not eat with you. I'm not to invite you to dinner or to a restaurant.
All right, Jimmy, stay right there. This is a crucially important conversation. We need to complete it. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I want to go right back to Jimmy in Tulsa. So, Jimmy, you said that you and your wife were divorced. You'd been out of contact for some years with your son at the age of 30. He came out and declared to you that he was gay, and you told him, based on 1 Corinthians 5, that if he was claiming to be a follower of Jesus, a brother in the Lord, and practicing homosexuality, that you would have to cut him off from any fellowship. How did he respond to that?
Well, he didn't want. He claims he didn't want a relationship anyway because of his mother, you know. The biggest thing is this, I had to tell him that, you know, his spirit isn't saved, and that's, I need to turn him over to Satan, like the Bible says, until his he repents, and his spirit is saved for the day of judgment, according to that same passage, I think.
Well, okay, but, let me just ask you again, Jimmy, is he claiming to be a born-again follower of Jesus?
Oh, absolutely, and I tell you, the thing that matches this whole thing was his conversion into universalism under Carlton Pearson.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Yeah.
Now, that goes hand in hand, apparently, with the whole thing.
What it is, you know, Carlton Pearson denying of eternal judgment or punishment for anyone, probably would even deny annihilation or, you know, any kind of judgment. Preaching a universalism, and I figured when he started preaching it had to be due to sexual issues, it had to be due to same-sex attraction. And what happens to people is they're trying to reconcile, okay, I want to serve the Lord, I love the Lord, I believe the gospel, but I'm same-sex attracted, and they think, okay, God made me this way, and then, okay, we're misreading the Bible, and because if the Bible is literally true, then you cannot be a practicing homosexual and a follower of Jesus at the same time. So we must be misinterpreting the Bible, and we're too strict and literal, and God loves all people and accepts all people, and Hindus and Muslims and Christians all worship the same God. And next thing you know, you have this heretical universalism, which of course appeals to this age, because it says there's no ultimate judgment, there's no ultimate straight and narrow gate and road that we have to walk down and walk through. What I'd encourage you to do, though, Jimmy, because your son is really part of an apostate church and is not part of a local fellowship of believers, really just pray that God would grant him repentance. Pray that above all he'd come to a real revelation of who Jesus is and would be convicted of his sins. I don't see this in terms of the 1 Corinthians 5, where there's a member of our local congregation who refuses to repent and continues to live in unrepentant sin, whatever that sin might be. Let's say it was adultery. They refuse to repent. We've reached out, we've prayed for them, and they want to continue to come and say, we're following Jesus. We are right with God in the midst of our adultery, in which case the extreme counsel of 1 Corinthians 5 comes in. I'd look at him as totally lost from beginning to end, and however you can reach out to him and pray for his repentance. Obviously, you're doing that. Pray that God would grant him repentance and the opening of his eyes and his salvation. Jimmy, we pray and stand with you for grace and for your whole family, for there to be grace and mercy. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, Robert in Palm Harbor, Florida. We're a little short on time, so please dive right in.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, what I would suggest is three things. I appreciate your ministry, and I think it's very good. There's a group called Exodus International who, you see, homosexuals are a group that would like to, they're more credible, an ex-homosexual who's repented. This group, Exodus International, you could interface with them. I think that would help out. And
oh yeah, we have a long history. We know each other and have worked together. They've taken a couple of turns recently that I'm not that pleased with. But yeah, I know the leadership there for some years now.
Yeah, and then the other two suggestions. I think it would be better for the credibility of your ministry to become a member of the EFCA. Evangelicals for Financial Accountability. I don't know if you're a member or not, but I think it would be good. I think the ministry is credible, but this would serve.
Well, you know what? Yeah, just to jump in real quick. I'm sorry. I know you had a third point, but I'm out of time. I just want to respond to the ECFA thing. Our missions organization, Fire International, that covers our missionaries around the world, and of which I'm a board member. And the offices are literally right outside my studio office doors here for Fire International. Fire International is ECFA. And at some point in the future, we'll definitely, our own ministry, get the ECFA stamp as well. The issue's been, Robert, that until recent years, we were so low budget. We brought in and used so little money because most everything we have with our funding goes towards our school, goes towards our church, goes towards our missionaries, and very little actually came in for the work that we were doing. As we've expanded on national radio, everything has expanded vastly, because of which at a certain point we'd be ECFA, but we were in terms of funds coming in way too small to make it an issue. But we're absolutely planning on it because of the growth that God's given us. And sorry I don't have time for the third suggestion, but thank you, sir, for weighing in and for your words of wisdom and counsel. I appreciate it very much. Friends, I want to encourage you to write to us with issues that come up, with questions that come up. Some we answer directly with our team, some I answer directly, and some I'll answer on the air. Obviously, we can't get to every call every day or respond to everyone that posts on Facebook, but we do our best to respond. Especially when you're going through family situations that need prayer, we have some prayer warriors that love to intercede on your behalf. And we've got a special resource offer this week, and it's a personal one to me. The first volume of my five-volume series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, continues to this day to be far and away the best-selling of the five volumes, and the most impactful because it covers the basic issues and church persecution of Jews in the past and the Holocaust and things that stand in the way of Jews and God and Jews and Jesus in particular. It's a $25 volume plus postage. Get it today. We'll pay the postage, and I'll give you with it free the TV show that we shot from LSD to PhD, where we went back to places where I had almost lost my life in living in sin on Long Island before I was saved. It's an amazing TV broadcast from LSD to PhD. It's on one DVD, and it's yours free with the book, and we'll pay the postage too. So call right now to order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go online to askdrbrown.org. Click on the online bookstore. You'll see the special offer. Or call 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, from my heart, I feel the love of God for every human being and want to demonstrate the love of God to every human being, and am committed to speaking the truth in love.